All right, good morning. I'm showing it's 10:30, so I guess we should go ahead and get underway. So I'd like to, can everybody hear me? Yes, okay. So thank you all for being here, and it's my pleasure to represent Project Hope today to talk about the global NCD situation. And as some of you already noticed, I'm not Charlotte Block. Charlotte submitted this abstract and made this presentation, and she unfortunately couldn't travel to San Francisco due to the hurricane on the East Coast. So I'm pinch hitting, and I will do my best to share the information on her behalf. So I'm Katie Kowalski. I have no relationships to disclose. I work for Project Hope. I manage our Gaucher disease programs and then do technical backstopping for an array of programs in both infectious and non-infectious diseases. So today I want to give you just a basic overview of the global situation with NCDs, what the global response has been, a little overview on the global diabetes situation, and then what have Project Hope's responses been, and what are the lessons we've learned. So there's a lot of terminology out there to describe NCDs. The World Health Organization defines them as diseases of long duration and generally slow progression, and they're not passed from one person to another like infectious diseases. And the WHO has decided to focus on four major NCDs, which are cancer, cardiovascular disease, lung disease, and diabetes, along with then the four major lifestyle factors that contribute to those diseases, so diet, inactivity, alcohol, and tobacco. And it's estimated that 80% of the four main NCDs could be prevented by eliminating those four shared risk factors. So the statistics are pretty alarming. 63% of deaths globally are caused by NCDs, 80% of those in low and middle income countries. 29% of the NCD deaths in lower and middle income countries are for people under the age of 60. So this is really your productive population. Now this slide shows the proportion of premature death caused by NCDs. And as you see, the lower the income level of the country, the higher the portion of NCD-related premature death. And so this means that the low and middle income countries that are struggling economically, NCDs are affecting the population that's responsible for securing the financial future for their families and for their countries. And so potentially it's not just a health crisis, but it's contributing to the world economic crisis. So, and this slide shows how, for individuals, NCDs create a vicious cycle of poverty. So, NCDs lead to low economic growth. Low economic growth leads to poverty, and as we know, poverty is related to poor health access and health outcomes, which in turn increases risk factors for NCDs. So, why are we seeing these patterns and such a rise in NCDs? And basically, there's a number of factors that are coming together to create the global epidemic. So there's individual behaviors and the lifestyle factors, tobacco use, unhealthy diet, physical inactivity, alcohol abuse. There are biological determinants. Some of those are modifiable, our weight, our cholesterol, glucose levels, blood pressure. And then there's the non-modifiable factors of age, sex, genetics. And then really the environmental factors are pretty significant. There's poor urban planning that doesn't provide parks and sidewalks and outdoor spaces. Pollution is a factor, toxic working conditions, and then there's issues with educational opportunities and health access. And then there are global factors. So what we're seeing is urbanization and a big migration of people from the countryside into the cities, where there's improved technology, and that leads to modernization and convenience. So urban incomes and environment then contribute to unhealthy lifestyle habits. And I won't go into a lot of detail here, but it's a reminder that the influence of NCDs can begin really early, even before conception or during pregnancy. And so maternal health with proper nutrition is probably more important than ever when we're considering the health of the next generation. I'm going to go ahead and connect all these lines here. What's happening is that NCDs are striking countries that were their health crises were traditionally centered around infectious diseases. So this is now referred to as the double burden of disease. So these countries are coping not only with TB, HIV, malaria, and other infectious conditions, but they're seeing a growing number of NCDs. And sometimes these infectious and non-infectious conditions are linked. So we have research that shows that people with diabetes are more susceptible to tuberculosis. There are associations between long-term HIV and cardiovascular disease, and then we have viruses like HPV that leads to cervical cancer. So also important to note is that the landscape for NCDs is changing. Even though the World Health Organization concentrates on those big four, there are a lot of other conditions that are worthy of attention. And also over time, the projections estimate that NCDs are going to rise to the top of the burden of disease above infectious diseases in terms of their impact on global health. And this slide shows that by 2030 here, mental orders and mental illness is going to be number one, with then heart diseases and road incidents and road injuries moving up, and then the burden of infectious disease going down. So if the problem's this complicated, what are the solutions? And really, the solutions have to be multisectoral. They can't just come from the healthcare side or the educational side. NCD initiatives need to be implemented from all areas. So this includes private industry with things like the food and beverage industry, urban planning to make cities breathable and walkable. Health systems need to be strengthened so that they can adequately address the whole spectrum of diseases. Agricultural planning is important, and so is creating awareness among the general public. And then I think also very critical is government support. You need governments that are going to support all of these different types of initiatives. And so I will just touch on the policy side very briefly. So September 2011, there was a United Nations high-level meeting on non-communicable diseases. It's the second time that the UN met on a health issue. The first time was in 2001 for HIV/AIDS. And the outcome of this meeting was a political declaration. It had some key points and a timeline for action. And so basically, the global monitoring framework and the NCD targets will be established, actually I think it's November, at the World Health Assembly. Then by 2013, NCD policies and plans will be coming together with a comprehensive review in 2014. These are some of the key messages from the declaration. I'm not going to go into those. But in terms of targets, the World Health Assembly has already adopted a 25% reduction in mortality from the four NCDs. And then there are indicators that are the most strongly supported, such as reduction in blood pressure, tobacco use, salt intake, and physical inactivity. And there's a lot of other indicators, I probably haven't put all of them up here, but that also merit consideration in this discussion. So again, global monitoring framework, November of this year, then global action plans will come together and the global partnerships will be forged. So now I'll move on quickly and focus attention a little more specifically on diabetes. So uncontrolled diabetes can progressively damage all the body systems. The complications of diabetes are related to or linked to many chronic diseases. So you see it doubles the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke. It's a leading cause of renal failure, blindness, higher risk of tuberculosis. And so really, diabetes increases healthcare costs. It can lead to disability. And it's a decreased quality of life and decreased income earning potential. So what works for diabetes? Basically, team approaches seem to work the best. So it's working with patients and their families to help them understand their condition and to incorporate lifestyle modifications and then also building support systems around them in families and communities so that everybody understands the importance of managing diabetes and preventing the diabetes complications. Now, it's important because diabetes is everywhere, and it's increasing for all the reasons we've discussed. There's an alarming number of people living with diabetes, and most of them have not yet been diagnosed. So this is just a sampling of the prevalence of diabetes around the world today. And what's maybe most alarming is the anticipated growth over the next 20 years. So here, the darker the country, the steeper the rise in diabetes over the next 20 years. And here in Middle and East Africa alone, you're seeing a projected rise of 80 to 90%. And then as you can see, China is currently topping the list with 90 million cases. By 2030, that's projected to be 130 million cases, with India and the United States in the second and third place slots. So Project Hope's been working in diabetes for over 20 years, and we've had a big focus on NCDs, most of it diabetes. We've worked with other chronic conditions, rehabilitation programs, and also women's and children's cancers. We began, and I'm going to focus here mostly on diabetes. We began working in China in 1996, and then you can see we expanded our efforts across the world in the period after that. So in China, we used a concentrated on medical staff with a training of the trainers model. We started in urban tertiary centers, and then we went out into the rural areas to expand our reach at the primary healthcare levels. And the courses to date have trained over 40,000 healthcare providers. And it's been a very strong, very successful program for us, largely because we've had the excellent and strong support of the Ministry of Health. And they, in fact, adopted a national diabetes care standard based on the Project Hope curriculum. We also implemented a very effective chronic disease management program, and we called it the total care cycle, which supported the continuity of care from the early acute phase to then the post-discharge phase when patients and families are self-managing. We incorporated patients, families, healthcare providers, and this program focused on COPD, stroke, and cardiovascular disease. Actually, we have two of the implementers of the program in the room with us today. They developed five different manuals on NCD management, both for healthcare providers and for patients. And actually, in the photos here, we have two home-based rehabilitation programs, one for stroke and one for COPD patients. So Mexico, we have Abraham Castaneda here from Mexico, so I'll let him talk to you about the programs in detail. But basically, we developed a curricula that centers on patient empowerment and then actually teaching patients to become advocates for diabetes. There is also a school-based, an excellent actually, school-based prevention program, and it teaches students and their families about the link between obesity and chronic diseases. In Latin America, Project Hope implemented a small gestational diabetes program, and then during the two-hour testing period, women received education on gestational diabetes, healthy habits, and child feeding practices. In India, we have had a very successful diabetes educator program. This trained more than 3,000 nurses and dietitians to become diabetes educators. We worked through medical centers, and then we implemented a six-month distance learning module so that we could reach a broader area of India. We adapted the Mexico school-based program into the schools in Delhi, and we're currently implementing a workplace wellness program that focuses on diabetes prevention, lifestyle modification, and adherence to treatment. And then this summer, we plan to adapt the diabetes educator program for rural health workers, and we'll assist them with screening and referrals for diabetes patients. So what have we learned from our experience in diabetes and NCD work? There's 3 points, and the first is the importance of partnerships cannot be emphasized strongly enough. They're needed to strengthen efforts, ensure sustainability, and it's really critical to align with the ministries of health and also to collaborate and work with local partners to implement the activities. And next is that it's important to work along the health spectrum. So to incorporate all the different aspects, prevention, screening and diagnosis, and treatment. And then lastly, it's in order to address awareness and education, you need to engage multiple levels of the society. So you want to conduct community patient education along with building the health capacity of medical professionals so that you're sure you're addressing NCDs from multiple angles. So that's just sort of the broad brushstrokes I have for you today, and I'm going to introduce and turn it over to some of my colleagues. First, we have Dr. Abraham Castaneda. Abraham is a Mexican medical doctor. He's a master in public health and a diabetes educator. He's dedicated to public health and epidemiology programs and has a strong focus on human rights and social medicine. He's designed and implemented educational programs and social assistance programs. He has worked for Save the Children, Bread for the World, the National Indigenous Institute, the National Institute of Nutrition, National Institute of Respiratory Diseases, and we've been fortunate to have him with us at Project Hope for the past 13 years.